Well, I'm excited to jump in today and continue in our series titled Generous Living, specifically living generous with our hands. Come on, let me see some spirit fingers. Come on, with your hands, these hands that God has given you are for a reason. They have a purpose. They're for you to make a difference. A subtitle I would use if I were to title this message would be, I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. And there's a reason why I use that phrase, I'm here to serve, as a subtitle. And that's because we find serving found throughout the scriptures from Genesis all the way to Revelation, all over the place. And I want to encourage you to be a man or a woman, a youth, a seasoned adult, whatever season of your life, and you never graduate from serving. And one of the reasons why I believe that is because we find that modeled throughout the scriptures and specifically in the life of Christ. Let me give you three thoughts today as we're taking notes. And if you're taking notes, I want to encourage you to jot some of this down in your journal or write it down in your notes on your phone. Also, if you want to follow along, you can scan the QR code on the LED behind me. You can check out the Bible app where we have all of the notes, all the scriptures I'm going to reference today. The quotes I'm going to reference, they're going to be found on that app. And so go ahead and hit the follow button for Walk Church so you can get notified when we put stuff out. And we'd love for you to follow along today. Somebody say, I'm here to serve. Amen. Number one, the reason why we should have this mentality is because serving is the Jesus way. I don't want to preach something to you today. I don't want us to discover something today that's not first found in the life of Christ. In fact, the reason why our church is called Walk Church is because we're walking in Him. Colossians 2:6, the same life Jesus lived then that we read about should begin to expose itself through our lives. We're His hands and His feet, right? We're the body of Christ. So the things we see Jesus doing, the Jesus way, should be producing itself through us. And if you study Jesus long enough, you'll realize Jesus was masterful and passionate about the topic of serving. Paul writes in Philippians 2, verse 7, as he records Jesus' coming, right, the incarnation, he says it like this. He says, he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Amen? Being born in the likeness of men. So we find baby Jesus born of a virgin there in Bethlehem in the manger. It wasn't a beautiful hospital bed, but a stinky barn that Jesus finds his way, right? You see this little manger, the first ever king-size bed. Amen? Right? That's Jesus there, but the scriptures say he chose to take the form of a servant. And this scripture challenged me because I want to ask myself every single day, what type of form am I taking? What's the posture of my heart today? Am I taking the form of a servant or am I taking the form of something else? When we look at the Jesus way, serving was his posture. Not only that, but we find a very important moment in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus delivers this short sermon on why he came. Look at Mark chapter 12 with me. We'll put it up here on the screen. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. I'm sorry. The scriptures say, come on, let's read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Man, I thought we were getting at least like 7 amens just off the reading alone. I mean, what a verse. If you were to like sit down with Jesus for like a 60-minute interview and you would say, all right, Jesus, really quick, tell us why you came. One of the things he would say is this. He'd say, I came not to be served, but to serve. And not only that, but to give my life as a ransom for many. I love the gospel good news found in Jesus' self-identification there of saying, hey, I didn't come to, like, Jesus doesn't show up as the King of Kings and he's riding on this beautiful stallion horse with all of these servants around him that are feeding him grapes. And he says, I'm the King of Kings and I'm here to be served. No, that's not him, right? I mean, he's flipping the script in a way. He's saying, I didn't come to be served. Back up off me. I actually came to serve. You see the shift? The renewal of the mind there. I came for this. I came to serve. I came to live generously. I came to make a difference. So I'm saying today, if Jesus would preach a message that says, I came to serve, what have we come for? If we're saying, I surrender all, you, Christ, live in and through me, then you got to expect at some point Jesus is going to start serving through you. That's why he came. And so we have this battle with the flesh and the spirit, because I think the flesh wants it to be all about me. And I'm just telling you, the longer you walk with Jesus, you'll realize it's all about him. And if it's all about him, you'll find that his posture is the posture to serve. We find that in Paul's declaration in Philippians 2. We find that in Jesus' own words in Mark 10. But I think the greatest example and the greatest moment where Jesus models this message is recorded for us in John chapter 13. And I want to invite you to flip there, scroll there, come on, turn there, get your eyelids there on John chapter 13. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're on the way, say, hold up. All right, cool, we're going to hold up. Hey, John chapter 13. Now listen, church, I'm going to attempt to read 17 verses. Let's go ahead and look at John chapter 13, 1 all the way through 17. I want us to put ourselves into the upper room. I want you to go there with Jesus the night that he was betrayed. He's up there. He's got the 12 with him reclining at the table. This is a very significant moment recorded for us in John's gospel. If you're there, say, I'm there. Come on, let's go ahead and follow along and let's try to envision this. Put yourself in the room with King Jesus and the disciples. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Amen? Come on, just pause for a moment. Isn't it great news that Jesus finished what he starts? Right? When things got hard, Jesus didn't hit the eject button, but he stayed the course. He didn't call down fire from heaven and blow everything up, although he was encouraged to by some of his disciples. He said, y'all don't have the right mindset here. He's going to finish what he started. Let's continue looking. Verse 2. During supper, when the devil had already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Verse 9, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I love Peter, right? Like, talk about the pendulum swing, right? At one moment, he's like, Lord Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet. And the next moment, he's like, wash all of me. Give me a whole bath, right? My head, my hands, my feet. Verse 10, Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you, for he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. Verse 12, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also, come on, listen in, you also, somebody say, you also, tap your neighbor and say, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you, and come on, say that word with me, it's an E word, I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Verse 17, we'll close here. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It's the word of the Lord here today, right? Amen. I'm going to clap with you, Rose. I'm going to clap for that. What a moment that we just got to jump into the living and abiding word of God and see Jesus at work. And what a moment that he models for us here that really convicted me, encouraged me, challenged me. When I read this, a couple words stick out. Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, "You also would do this." Now, I don't believe Jesus, through this passage, was declaring that we always should, all the time, when we gather together, take off each other's shoes and begin washing each other's stanky feet, all right? And somebody said amen, right? However, I do believe, one, if you feel led to do something like that, then you should pray about it and explore that with somebody. I think there's a powerful moment of humility that's displayed there. But what I do think Jesus was doing there was he was giving an example for his disciples and for us here today that we should model what Jesus does and be willing to serve in a way that gets you a little dirty sometimes. Be willing to serve in an example, in a way that, in fact, is not the most glamorous position. In fact, Jesus, taking the form of a servant, has all of his disciples take off their sandals. They have been walking around all day. In fact, Jesus gives an illustration there. He says, when people take a bath or a shower, which is a good thing, come on, amen, you don't always get the bottom of your feet clean. So Jesus says, I'm going to model an example and illustrate this by saying the toughest parts, the places that seem to be the lowest and the dirtiest, I want to clean that. I want to get in that part and I want to help make a difference there. And I just want to encourage you through this text, Jesus is modeling servant leadership. He's modeling getting dirty. I mean, isn't it Jesus who goes up to the man with leprosy and touches his face and the leprosy doesn't jump on Jesus, the Jesus jumps on the leprosy. And suddenly everybody goes, what just happened? The person was not even supposed to come into the 20 feet away, let alone touch his face. And yet, and that a woman who has a bleeding problem for 10 straight years, doctors couldn't figure it out. Money couldn't figure it out. Scientists couldn't figure it out, right? You can't get around her because she's got a bleeding problem. If you get close, you'll get unclean. Jesus walks right up and she touches his garment and the bleeding doesn't get on Jesus. The Jesus gets on her. And she says, I'm healed. And he says, daughter, your faith has made you well, right? There's something about Jesus who was not afraid to get dirty. Jesus decides to go get baptized. In the dirty Jordan River, he's standing in the line with the sinners who are getting baptized by John the Baptist for repentance. Jesus had nothing to repent of, but he still chose to do it because he modeled a radical humility. I'm here to serve. I'm not here to be served. Come on. I'm here to serve. In fact, the thing I love about this story is this is the toughest night, I would argue, of Jesus's earthly life. I mean, he's literally about to walk, lead his disciples outside alongside the Kidron Valley. He's on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where it's going to be recorded that his disciples are going to fall asleep on him. Jesus is going to pray three different times, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. If there's a different way, he's feeling the weight of it. He's sweating drops of blood, which is an actual medical condition when you're experiencing such a stress level that it begins to come out upon you. You see the God-man here in the text. Now, I say that to illustrate that this moment is so powerful for me. Now, I will say that I've heard several different commentaries and preachers and people use a phrase similar to the one that I'm about to use, so I don't know who that exact authorship is, but I want to give credit to where it's due. Somebody said something like this, and I'm going to say my own version of it right now. Here's the reality statement I want you to see. On the most difficult night of Jesus's earthly life, he didn't pick up a title, he picked up a towel. Like Jesus is aware that the time is pressing in on him. He's 100% God. He's 100% man. He's experiencing temptation. He's experiencing the pull of what's about to happen. He's about to go to the cross and bear the weight of the world's sin on his back. And it's in this moment where I think that Jesus has every single right while he's upstairs reclining at the table, Passover week, he's there with his disciples. I think that he could be at the table and he could say, you know what? Man, I'm gonna start drawing on titles. Listen, you guys, first off, all y'all about to fall asleep on me, and I'm the savior of the world. Yeah. Not only that, you know that I am in Exodus 3? I'm the great I am. That's me. I'm the I am. You know what? I'm the Lord of Lords, guys. Judas, you gonna betray me? It's like a Denzel moment. my unsanctified. I put all y'all on. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Come on, right? You guys think about kings. I'm the King of Kings. Now, Jesus, on the toughest night of his life, I'm so grateful that he does not reach for a title. Instead, he reaches for a towel. Come on. Amen? Right? That Jesus, when he could say, listen, y'all, you know, forget all this. I'm going to reach for titles. I'm about to show y'all who's boss. Jesus doesn't show you who's boss. He knows who's boss. He knows who he is. He's not insecure about his identity as Messiah and King and Lord. But he hasn't come for that reason. He's not looking for credit in this moment. He's looking to serve. Jesus goes, you know what? I'm not going to pick up a title. I'm going to pick up a towel. I think that we need to do a better job of renewing our minds as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, so many Christians are known as so many of the most entitled people. And we have to change that reputation. Don't reach for a title. You might get entitled. Come on. Reach for a towel. Reach for a towel, and you might get attention. I think that people are saying, hey, because look, come on, right or wrong, you start serving somebody in this culture, and what do people say? What's the agenda? When are you going to hit me with the bait and switch? Come on. What's the occasion? Why are you doing this? But when you're following the Jesus way, you say, I'm not looking for a title. I'm looking for a towel. I'm looking to serve because that's how Jesus did for me when I was lost and he came looking for me and he washed my feet. In fact, he washed me of all my sins and he gave me a new identity. And now I'm a follower of Christ and I'm here to serve. I'm not here to be served. Let me model something different. It's a humility that we find in Christ. Do you know that the root word for humility is humiliate? In fact, in the ancient day, in the biblical times, the word humility was not a popular or good word. To have humility was seen as a negative. And Jesus comes and he flips it on its head. He goes, no, actually, humility is a good thing. Sometimes you might need to have a little bit of humiliation to say, you know what, I'm sorry. In humility, I'm coming to you to serve, not with an agenda, not with a you do for me and I'll do for you mentality. Jesus says the Gentiles do that. What makes you different? We show up and we say, hey, I'm here to serve for his glory and your good and my joy. Come on, can I just tell you that God is not created in your image, you're created in his. God is not created in your likeness, you're created in his likeness. Right? God doesn't have like a hole in his heart that you need to fill. You have a hole in your heart that only he could fill. Right? Ecclesiastes says that God has placed eternity into man's heart. So look, even if you do get the glory, you feel empty. Like the flesh craves praise, but if we get praise, we don't feel better. We feel like something's missing. And really, it's because God is worthy of worship for what he's done and for who he is, right? That's why we're here today. We don't reach for titles. Reach for towels. I recently made this wristband. It's Romans 12:2. It just says renew on it. And I love that verse, Romans 12:2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That word conformed, it means to morph. Don't let the world mold you into a copycat. Don't let the world mold you into a way where now all of a sudden you are a Christian version of I need credit. I need titles. I need likes. I need it all. It's for me. Listen, the posture of Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 30. I love John's posture. He says, I must decrease, he must increase. And so I made these wristbands. I want to encourage you to grab one today. They're free. We just want to bless you with one of them. Just to remind you, hey, when I start to feel entitled or when I start to feel like it's all about me, just renew your mind. Don't be conformed. Renew. Just hit that refresh button. I'm new again. We want to be servant leaders because that's the Jesus way. Let me give you point number two. Serving is the leader's way. So number one, serving is the Jesus way. But in case some of you are in here and you're like, oh man, enough of the mushy stuff, man. Like, come on, bro. Talk about washing feet and humility. Like, come on. I'm a leader's leader. Serving's the leader's way. If you're looking for a great leadership talk, look. Hey, listen. Has anybody ever been able to beat Jesus at the game of leadership? And nobody leading higher than him in 2025. You can go to all of the Amazon, Barnes and Noble, whatever bookstore you want to find, the number one selling book is still the Bible. In fact, sales are up more than they've been up, and they've always been up. Nobody's inspiring more than Christ. And Jesus is not reaching for titles, he's reaching for towels. We find here that Jesus is giving a description of what leadership looks like. I like what Oswald J. Sanders says in his book, Spiritual Leadership. The military commander Oswald says, true greatness, true leadership is achieved not by reducing men to one's service, but in giving oneself in selfless service to them. See the difference? Jesus is modeling true greatness. If you're like, man, I want to be great. I want to be a leader. Here's a good place to start. I think Jesus can look at the room and say, who's got a towel? I can promote that person. I can give them more leadership capacity, more leadership influence, more leadership responsibility if they're willing to serve. In fact, Jesus had to teach a mom this lesson in the Gospels on several different occasions you'll find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's a moment where two of Jesus' disciples, James and John, these two brothers, in fact, they got a nickname, the Sons of Thunder, because they were always passionate and always just, they were down for the battle. You got to have a few people like that on your team, all right? Amen, right? And the people amening feel like they're like, yeah, that's me. I love that. But James and John had a mama figure who, she was kind of like that mom who like calls the coach and is like, my kids need more playing time. And I'm like, if you're that mom, stop. Respectfully. Like, pick up a towel and say, I'm here to serve. Like, I struck a chord with somebody. My bad. I hope I'm not like that dad as my kids get older. I might be that guy too. But there's this mom who literally pulls Jesus aside, stops Jesus on his journey. I love the fact that Jesus has time for her. Hey, James and John's mom. And I'm sure they're like, Mom, get out of here. We're following Jesus. Ah, hey, James, your mom's here. Ah, man. Dang it. John, is that your mom? Hey, Jesus, I got a quick question. So when you go to heaven, I want James to sit on one side. I want John to sit on the other side. What type of questions? Sounds good, deal? She literally makes this, and Jesus goes, you don't know what you're asking. And then he says, you know what? I'm going to take this as a moment to give a leadership talk to everybody who's around. And I want you to just watch what Jesus says here. Let's go ahead and look at Luke's example. After this dispute, some of the disciples got indignant with them. It was a whole thing. Verse 24, a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. Thanks a lot, Mom. This is a good conversation. Who's the goat? Who's the greatest? He said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. And so Jesus is now giving an illustration that was relevant to the time. He's saying Gentiles. Now, Gentiles were people that were non-Jews, non-Christians. They were, in a way, kind of just doing their own thing. They weren't influenced by Scripture. there were Gentile individuals in the land. He says the kings of the Gentiles, they exercise lordship. They grab titles. And they say, hey, you're going to do this because this is my title. They exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. See what Jesus just flipped it? We don't move like that. Rather, let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader, there it is, as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves. So Jesus, come on, Teddy, right? Jesus does like a little flex here, right? He says, who's greater? Is it the one who's reclining at the table or who's the one who's serving? I'm the one who's serving. Jesus answers the question with his own statement. He's trying to help them see it. Jesus is saying, I'm God in the flesh. Look at me. He's giving his example of what leadership looks like. Now, I've heard different individuals craft statements similar to this, so I don't know who the original authorship is because it's sometimes attributed to different people, so I'm not exactly sure, but I love this as a reality statement. Here it goes. If serving is beneath you, leadership is beyond you. Just want to make it really plain here today. If you're like, hey, look, man, serving is for who? It's for you. Like, if you have this essence of arrogance or pride that dwells up in you, go, man, that serving stuff ain't for me. If serving is beneath you, just know leadership's beyond you. Serving is the way of Jesus. It's the way of leadership. It's something that Jesus himself modeled. In fact, it's something that I saw modeled when I was growing up. In fact, when I was in college, which seems to get further and further away every single year. Lord help me. I remember being in college. I was in Pennsylvania. It was in Erie, Pennsylvania. It was super cold, but it was one of those days that just, it's like a spring day. I remember the sun being out, and there was a guy that I was discipling, and I looked at him, and I said, dude, we need to have a spiritual conversation. Let's go get a milkshake at Shake Shack. That's what I said to him. And so we drove to, no, Steak and Shake. That's where it was. And so we went to the Steak and Shake, all right? I still remember that moment. And we got out of the car, and we walked onto the premises there. And in front of the restaurant, there was this lady on her hands and knees. And she's got one of these little scrapers. And she is scraping up these, like, little gum residue spots in front of the Steak and Shake. And she finished one. She throws it in a little trash bag. She goes on to another one. And she's cleaning up the concrete area, the cement there. And so much so that me and my buddy were moved. We were like, yo, we should help her. And so we ask, hey, excuse me, can we help you do this? Because it's hot and you're crushing it. And she goes, oh, no, thank you guys so much. We're like, you sure? And she's like, please, you guys go enjoy. You got it. I'm good. I got this. So we walk into the restaurant. We wait in line. We order at the register. And before we could pay, the door in the back opens, and that same lady walks in. And she goes, hey, hey, yo, yo, make sure that these guys don't pay for their shakes. And I thought, who is that? And he goes, dude, that's the boss. That's the manager. And he's like, yeah, you got it. Absolutely. And it was in that moment where we both looked at each other and go, that's servant leadership. Said, hey, I'm not going to wait for somebody else to do the job. I'll do the job. I'll get on my hands and knees. I'll have a generous spirit, living ready to make a difference. I'm not going to pick up. She didn't have to say, hey, guys, look, I'm the manager. She didn't even have to say that. She lived it. I want to encourage you to think through, okay, how can I live out this message? Let me give you the third and final point. We're going to move quick. Final point. Right? Number one, serving is the Jesus way. Number two, serving is the leader's way. Number three, serving is the generous way. If you're going to live with a spirit of generosity, then serving is around the corner. In fact, you heard me say this on week number one. Let me say it again. When generosity flows, everyone grows. When generosity is present, everyone's pleasant. When the atmosphere is generous, God moves. When the atmosphere is tight and stingy and greedy and prideful, you're going to miss out on what God could do. God loves to move through generous people. God loves to move through people who are saying, hey, it's not mine, it's yours. God loves to move through surrendered people. Amen? Lord, it's not even mine. My title is not even mine. Maybe it's a season for me to steward for your glory. Serving is the generous way. One more verse. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. I love that. The same Peter who was getting his feet washed, now fast forward, writes in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Come on, let's read this together and we'll close. Ready, set, go. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Hold on, can I just pause for a second? I'll never understand Christians who believe they've been gifted for their own self-glorification. If God has given you a spiritual gift, it's for serving one another. There's no such thing as a gift for you. In fact, God has gifted you to make a difference. God has given you the gift so that you could use it and serve people. And God gets glory and you go, man, I feel better now. I was made for this. I think I was made for this. In fact, you were. You were gifted by God through his varied grace. Some translations say his multifaceted grace. Like God has all types of different grace that he displays for each one of us. And he goes, I'm going to give you this gift. 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 And guess what? God is using these gifts that we might serve one another as good stewards of his very grace. Whoever speaks, come on, keep reading with me, verse 11. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Come on, amen. Can we clap for the Lord today? Amen. Amen. I think we should strive to live this out. Billy Graham, the great revivalist preacher, said, the highest honor of a Christian is to serve. What an honor it is to serve in the Lord's house. You're never more like Jesus than when you're serving people. When you're living generous, you're living ready to make a difference. I'm here to serve. I'm here for it. Amen. When you model that, it's really a special thing. I want to give you three very quick applications. As we close, I want you to think of, how can I apply this? How can I now use this message with my hands? How can I apply this? Number one, pray about it. And come on, not a cliche pray about it. Actually, ask the Lord and say, Lord, serving is the Jesus way. How do you want me to serve? What should I do? Where should I go? Who should I serve? Maybe start with your family. Start by serving in the home, amen? Come on, I heard an amen over there. Move outside of that a little bit. What about serving in the church? I would encourage you to consider today identifying a dream team to serve on. Now, we call our dream team the dream team because there's so much more than a volunteer team. We say that these individuals make the dream of Walk Church come alive week in and week out. Amen? Yes. I had somebody share with me just the other day. They said, dude, we came to church. Y'all set that up every week? No way. And it is my opportunity to say, man, we have an incredible team. The dream team gets in here on Friday night, shows up Sunday morning early, stays all the way to the end. We do a dream team huddle for those who stay there, and then we share about how God moved through the team, through our generosity, through the serving, how God chose to use our sacrifice, amen, for his glory. We prayed for it, and he did it. And so today I would encourage you to consider joining the dream team. We have 11 teams. Let me go ahead and run through them. You're going to be tempted to clap after every one, but then we'll never leave, all right? And outside, we're going to have tables that represent all 11 teams. And maybe you might want to stop by one of those tables and say, hey, just tell me a little more. Doesn't mean you have to sign up, but you get to know a little bit more. This first one, I love it, our 412 Kids Ministry team, led by my wife, Nina, babies through fifth grade. What a special team. Oh my gosh. That team is unique. And they are, you know that across the hallway is like another church going on. It's like the Walk Church Kids Church. Like there's going to be 300 babies, kids, elementary students, volunteer, dream team members serving in six different classrooms this morning. God's moving through the 412. Our community outreach team, I love Pastor George. He's leading an outreach team from the seats to the streets. Amen. Right? For homeless outreach, serving in our city, making a difference. If you have an idea, let us know so we can get in on it. Our outreach team, our hospitality and Sweet Creations team. Rose, we love you, Rose. Right? Maybe you got a little donut today. Grateful that we got to serve. Somebody got here early and made coffee and did good stuff. Our media and production team, people clicking slides and sound and AVL, audio, visual lights. Our medical team, our prayer team, our security team, our setup and teardown team. Come on, the setup and teardown team is insane. Shout out to the Clark family and everybody else who is on that. Our walk worship team is such a powerful team, amen? I'm seeing new team members use their gifts, discover a purpose, start singing, start playing, start growing. Our walk youth ministry team, I love our youth team. 6th through 12th grade. Come on, one more time for the welcome team, the greeters. The greeters. The parking team. I love the parking team. Come on, throw me my parking wand. Can I get my parking? Come on, throw it to me. Come on, I can catch. I love the parking team. Man, it's an honor to carry a wand. Amen. It's an honor to point somebody to a spot. What a gift. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I would encourage you to pick a team and just say, you know what? I probably could fit in somewhere in there. I'm gifted for something. Maybe you might say, hey, the team that I'm gifted in is not on there. Let's talk about it. Put it on a connection card. You might be a new team leader. Would encourage you to join the church family, get connected here. In fact, this upcoming Saturday, I talked to Pastor Mike. I'm grateful for your generosity. Pastor Mike is hosting. What up, Pastor Mike? You look good on the screen, bro. Hey, Pastor Mike is hosting a one-day Join the Family. So typically you need to go every 3 weeks, step one, step two, step three. We're still going to run all that the next 3 weeks. But in case you're like, dude, I want to start serving sooner than that, come on next Saturday from 8 to 12 a.m. It's 8. Okay, sorry, we got to update the graphic. Some of y'all are like, man, I needed that extra hour. I'm sorry, it's 8. It's 8 to 12, and it's going to be at the Walk office. We're going to have some snacks. We're going to have some breakfast items, and you're going to go through all three right there on the spot, and it's going to be a powerful time. Would encourage you to do that. There is one opportunity if you're not a family member and you're like, you know what? I just want to start serving today. I can't wait. Man, come back later after our service today. Start helping with these chairs. Start making a difference with the pipe and drape. Come on, start making a difference. I think God can use your hands, can use your heart, if you're willing to live generously, amen? My third application, and for real, I'm done. When you walk out of the service today, we got everybody a blue towel, amen? So, if you want one, Smitty, there you go, you got one. Here you go, bro. You're here to serve. Yes, Walk Church. We're here to serve. I mean, we got blue ones. It's our blue. And you know what? We didn't get one of those like bougie towels that don't work. We got one of those like you clean the tire with, you know, like one of those ones that you're like, you know what? I'm gonna get dirty with this towel. But maybe you'll put it in a place that just reminds you, I didn't come to be served. I came here to serve. I'm not reaching for a title. Please. If I get a title, that's because God did that. But I am reaching for a towel. I think all of us can do that. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you for this word here today. God, I needed it. I'm sure that everybody in some capacity needed it. And Jesus, thank you that you're the model. You're the example, and you always have been. So Lord, right now I pray for everybody in this room. God, if there'd be one person that doesn't know you as Savior, would they know today that you came to give your life as a ransom for many? That you laid your life down, that people might be saved. If that's you right now, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, and you're like, man, I came in this place and I'm ready to now receive Jesus as my Savior, Would you just lift your hand if that's you? There's somebody in here today with their hand up. God, I just pray you would identify with each hand up and that you would let that person know that there's grace found at the cross, that the blood of Jesus can wash away all of your sins, not just your feet, but your sins. And so if you got your hand up, just pray this prayer with me right now. Just say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you're coming back again. And Jesus, I believe today that you're my Savior and my Lord. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. Equip me, gift me to serve. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.